right. Yeah, we did run, well, we still do run with Pastor Kim Ertz, and I didn't know I acted and sounded like him. I don't know. Okay, that's a good thing, though. It's a good thing. Hey, yeah, first of all, I wanted to introduce my bride, Carrie. Go ahead and stand up, Carrie. I've been in churches before where I've forgotten to introduce her, and usually there's no lunch after that, but no, just kidding. But no, Carrie and I, we've been married for 39 years, June 9th. See, I remember all those dates, and we've been serving in ministry for a number of years now. Pastor Kim's Ernst Church, we were there for 29 years, and on the worship team, Carrie was before I was, and then I was on the worship team, and then after that, stepped into the role of associate for him in the church there, and left there in 2020 and went to Rhema Bible College. So I'd had my ordination and my license prior to going to Rhema, but I knew that we were supposed to go to Rhema. I knew I was supposed to go to Rhema since I was 17 years old. Now, there's been a couple of years that have passed since then, but 40 years later, I ended up at Rhema. And I used to think, well, gosh, I'm too old to go to Rhema. And then the Lord reminded me, he said, well, how old was Moses when he started? He was 80. I got a long way to go yet. I still got a lot of years left in me. But no, we've been out at Rhema for the last 3 years. We graduated back in May. But like I said, we've been doing ministry for a number of years. But going there, it's like anything else. When you immerse yourself in the culture of something, that culture will rub off on you. Well, we're Rhema. I know this church was founded by a Rhema pastor. Carrie and I, we're Rhema. And so we just believe the word. We believe the word's true. And when we get up and minister, we will minister in a practical way. I don't believe that the word was meant to be complicated. So we'll minister in a practical way. We'll take a biblical truth, and we'll take that biblical truth, and we'll show you how to practically apply that to your life on a daily basis. I had an elderly gentleman, I'm getting close, but he was 79 years old here about a year ago. And he came up to me after the service, and he said, you know, Rick, I've never heard the word explained in such a way that I can actually see how that would apply to my life. He's 79 years old and never heard the word that way. Now, is it anything within me? Believe me, I do have notes, but, man, I totally trust in God. I've preached before where I've spoke, thought I had this slick sermon, fell flat on my face, and said, I will never preach again. Well, I've done it since then. But it made me realize how dirty you feel, I guess you could say, when you try to do it on your own. Now, I endeavor to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think we should be led by the Holy Spirit in the things that we do from the pulpit and wherever. If it's out on the streets, we should be led by the Holy Spirit. I woke up at 3:45 this morning, and at 7:30, I think it was, 7 or 7:30, I thought the Lord was giving me a different sermon. And so I started writing out some notes. I got a different sermon to go, a different direction to go. And even sitting here just a few minutes ago, I had two sermons in my book here, and I didn't know which way am I supposed to go. So I'm endeavoring to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, through a couple of things that Pastor Matt said, click, right away. I knew which way I was supposed to go. He made a comment earlier this morning that somebody here is seeking direction for their lives. Well, that's the word that the Lord gave me at 3:45 this morning. He said, all he said was direction. Wisdom, well, he said wisdom and direction. And so I thought, man, I'll get up and I'll start writing some things down. I'll put together some Bible verses and things like that. And so I did. And I need two pulpits. But anyway, I'm just joking, just joking. And so he told me, he says, well, look in James. I mean, James, people are looking for wisdom. And this is for somebody here today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because he told me to get into my message. But as Pastor Matt was saying here this morning, somebody is looking for direction in their life. Well, he says, go to the Word. Tell them to go to the Word. Well, where do you go for wisdom? Where does it talk about wisdom? It talks about it in James, the first chapter, the first fifth verse, right? It says, if anybody lacks wisdom, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to ask. Now, how practical can that be? How complicated is that? I don't think that's complicated at all. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And then what will he do? He'll give it to you liberally. So if you're needing wisdom and you ask him for the wisdom, he said, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of it. So you don't have to, you can take the word as being true. If God, if we believe, we say that a lot of times ministers will say, the word of God, it's God speaking to me. The word is God speaking to me. Well, if it's God speaking to me, well then I want to believe every part of it. So the Bible says that he can't lie. And so if he can't lie, he says that I can ask him for wisdom. He's going to give it to me. How simple is that? So if you're seeking direction in your life, how simple? Carrie and I were out at camp meeting this last camp meeting. I'm seeking wisdom in an area, and I don't have peace about it. And so I'm asking, God, you know, you got to show me. You know, it's almost like sometimes you're crying, whining, actually. God, show me. Or I think of John the Baptist said he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Well, I looked up that crying one time. It says it was a voice hollering. Anybody ever heard of holler? Anybody ever holler? He was a voice hollering in the wilderness. Sometimes you're screaming it out, God, I need wisdom. I need peace about the situation. And so as I'm sitting there, Philip Slaughter was speaking, and it just dropped on me. It's like, okay, it's like that puzzle piece that you have. It's the last piece, and it's not quite in position, but when it gets in position, it drops in, and it seats right in that spot. That's the piece that I had. I knew what direction that we were supposed to go. And so I'm just here to encourage you this morning that if you're seeking direction in your life, if you're seeking wisdom in your life today, if there's something going on in your life that you've got to have an answer for, you need to know what direction you're going to go. All you have to do is ask, and he'll give it to you. It's that simple. It's that practical. 3:45, I didn't have to change my sermon, thankfully, but it was something that I believe the Lord was saying for me to say here today. It's nothing earth-shattering. You've probably read that verse 1,000 times. I've read it a bunch of times. But you know what? When it finally seats in there, that puzzle piece, I just got to ask. And as I was sitting there, and when he was saying those things this morning, he said two things this morning that solidified what I was supposed to be preaching today. And I just started laughing. He's sitting there speaking. He's being serious. And God's giving you direction. I'm sitting there laughing. Because I know. I got it. I got what I need. I knew what I was supposed to do. And so I'm just here to encourage you here this morning that if you're seeking wisdom, you're seeking direction in your life, ask God for it, and he's going to give it to you. But let me go on here just a second. Give me a second. We've got till 4:30, right? Okay, man, I heard a yes. Okay, we're good. Pizza's at 2, and we go till 4:30. Anyway. But what if it has, what we're seeking, the wisdom we haven't, that we're seeking for, the direction that we're looking for, what if it hasn't happened yet? What if I've been waiting for a while? Does that ever happen? You've asked for something and you wait. It seems like you're waiting and you're waiting. Well, let's go on down to verse 6 in that chapter. It says, let him ask in faith. Whoo! A full and complete trust in God that what he says, he will do. You may not see it yet. It may not have arrived yet. But if you've got a full and complete trust in God and what he says he will do, it's coming. It's already it's already in the account. That's the way you have to treat it. It's already in the account. And so I just want to encourage you in that too. If it's not there yet, it's coming. It's coming. Part of these verses are in my sermon too, but I wrote this one down too. 1 John 5:14-15. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Okay. And this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Well, what's his will? His will is his word. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. Oh, man. How plain is that? How uncomplicated is that? This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know. We have a confident expectation. We know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. That is a verse that has just resonated with me for so long that when I'm in a situation where I don't know, he knows, and all I have to do is ask, and I can have a com- complete and full confidence in him, knowing that he's going to come through. He's going to be true to his word. I don't have to guess, wonder, or hope whether he's going to be true to his word. I know that he will be true to his word. In Genesis, the third chapter, is talking about God said to Adam and Eve, you know, not to eat of that tree there, the knowledge of good and evil. Well, then the devil comes back later on and tells him, well, you know, he didn't really say, he said you could eat of any tree. And if you ate of that tree, really what he was saying, you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. So what'd they do? They went ahead and ate. So if it hasn't come yet, sometimes, whatever you're believing for, sometimes we can get frustrated. And what God, what the devil's going to do, he's didn't try to get them to stumble by way of murder or lie or stealing anything. He got them to stumble by doubting, questioning what God had said. So never doubt, never question what God has said. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask. He'll give it to you. Whatever things you ask, have a confidence that the things you ask, they're going to come your way. So seeking wisdom, seeking instruction in your life, direction, be encouraged. He said, all you got to do is ask. So let's move on to my sermon for this morning. I think we could have went a little longer, but like I said, Carrie and I, we try to be as simple and as practical as possible in our approach to sharing the word and doing the things that God's called us to do. And one of there's a statement that I'm fairly passionate about, and it says that depth of illustration will determine depth of application. Depth of illustration will determine depth of application. So as I'm explaining a biblical truth to you, and I give you a practical application in my life to where you can see it, you're more likely to apply it in your own lives. There's too many times that I've been in church services where I need a dictionary at my disposal to understand some of the things that are being said, some of the words that are being used, because I don't know. You know, I mean, I graduated high school. Went a little bit to college. I think I'm pretty smart, you know. But I had somebody tell me one time, he says, and he was joking, he said, Rick, you big dummy. And I looked at him and said, let me tell you something. I am not dumb. And I was serious with him. But we've told our kids all along when they were growing up, and I tell them to this day, we got a daughter that's 38, daughter that's 36, and one that's 26. I tell them to this day, you guys are smart. There's nothing you can't do. You can accomplish anything. And to this day, well, one of them, she transferred to a new job, but she was the director of finance for a university. Another's a school teacher. Another's working a job down in St. Louis. But I tell them, you're smart. There's nothing that you can't do. And so we need to, that's the way we teach that. I attempt to teach the word is to show you practical ways of applying the word to your life. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Jesus took, we had Mark chapter 10, I think it's verse 17. He's talking about the rich young ruler. And so the rich young ruler comes running up. He says, Lord, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Then he said, well, why do you call me good? There's nobody good but God. And but he says, you know the commandments, thou shalt not murder. And he just lists some of the commandments there. So Jesus is teaching him and reminding him of the things he's already been taught, probably from the time he was a little boy until here he is today. And so he's reminding him of those things. And then he tells him something very practical to do. He says, but there's one thing that you lack. Because he said, I've done all these things, but there's one thing that you lack. He says, take what you own, go sell it all. Give to the money to the poor, and come follow me. Well, what's it say? He walked away sad because he had great possessions. And the disciples are back there watching this exchange. It's a learning. Jesus, now, I don't know if it's designed this way or not, but they're back there and they're watching this unfold. And they're like, huh? Well, how's it possible then? You know, and so he took a spiritual truth, put a practical application to it in order to teach the ruler, which he chose a different direction, and also his disciples. And one thing I do also want to mention is that outside of the 12 disciples, This rich young ruler was the only person that Jesus ever personally invited to come follow him. And what was his response? He chose not to, because he had great wealth. And so we like to teach in such a way that's going to cause you to, and as I'm saying that, you're sitting there and you're looking and you're seeing that rich young ruler and the exchange between him and Jesus, right? I did as I was talking about it and how it unfolded. And so you're seeing how that could potentially play out in your own lives. Jesus may be asking you to give up something. The direction that you're looking for, the wisdom that you're looking for to go a certain direction, he may be saying you have to lay aside something. Are you willing to lay aside something? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. One of the other things that Pastor Matt was saying here today was, he said, we got to look up. I caught that phrase, you got to look up. And the title of my sermon today, keep your head up. How good is God to kind of match up the direction thing, to match up the look up thing, and all these types of things. But that was a message, a title that God gave me was, keep your head up. What do we mean by keep your head up? You know, there's a lot of times we'll come across somebody and they'll see that we're down. They'll see that we're discouraged. And they'll say, you know, keep your head up. You know, things might be going bad now. You might be having trouble in your life now. There may be discouragement in your life right now, but an opportunity is coming. An opportunity is coming for you to see a better way. But you got to keep your head up. You can't keep looking down. You can't stay so withdrawn within yourself, feeling these feelings of sadness and depression, and I'll never, or I can't, or I won't. I mean, those are three phrases we need to get out of our vocabularies. I'll never, I can't, or I won't. Because you can, and you will. If our confidence, like I said earlier, is in him. In and of ourselves, it's rough. It's rough. The things that we face out there in the world, it can be rough in and of ourselves. But if our confidence is in him and his word and what he's spoken to us through his word, man, you can and you will. Keep your head up. Keep looking up. I've had my son-in-law recently, his baseball, coaches high school baseball, and they took second place in state this year. And great accomplishment. He's done it before. He coached junior high in Casey and went and took second place in state when he was going teaching down there also. But just from my own experience, and I saw some of the players on his team, when they lost that championship game, what was their demeanor? What was their posture? They're looking down. They weren't looking at the fact that they beat 161 other teams out of second place in the state of Illinois. They weren't looking at the fact that really, in public schools, they finished first because the one who took first place was a Catholic school. They weren't looking at those things. They weren't looking at the idea that the memories that they were making. 50 years down the road, they'll be looking back on this. They'll remember that. I still remember the most valuable player awards I won in baseball. I've still got one of the most valuable baseball player balls in my little memory box that Carrie says I got too many memories in my box there. But I like my memories. But, you know, so in those situations like that, when you're, you know, on top of the world and they're holding the three different plaques they won prior to going to state, your head's up, you're smiling and you're getting free meals at the local restaurant and, you know, and all these different types of things. But when you lose, when they lost, their head was down. They were sad. They became more inward thinking. They looking more inward instead of outward, instead of looking at the blessings and the things that God had already produced in our lives, basically. But we got to keep our heads up. And the first, the book that we're going to look at first is we're going to look in the book of Psalms. We're going to look at the fifth chapter. Now, they're in various Psalms, you know, they'll take you through a roller coaster of every human emotion. Have you ever seen that in the book of Psalms? It seems like at one moment, you know, there's sadness. Lord, why? Why did you abandon me? Why are my enemies coming against me? Why am I in this pit? And it'll go from sadness, and then it'll take you to unbridled joy. Oh, yeah. So you're going to, and all of a sudden now you're going up that big first climb on the roller coaster, all kinds of joy. There's anticipation of what's ahead. And then all of a sudden you come to that drop and you hear what happens when most people go over that drop from the roller coaster? They scream, just the thrill of whatever it may be. But it may take you through the unbridled joy. Then all of a sudden you're going through jealousy. Then all of a sudden you're going through the corkscrew of anger, you know, the corkscrews on the roller coaster. Then all of a sudden you've got hope. Then all of a sudden you've got depression. Then all of a sudden you've got peace again when you're coming into the station there and you're slowing down saying, God, I'm glad that's over with. But it takes you on a roller coaster of emotions. The book of Psalms can. And we're going to look at the fifth chapter. And in that, you're going to see that there was a cry for help, a plea for guidance. It talks about the morning as the time of prayer and to listen for God to answer. And like many of these laments, like I said, it begins with a cry, but it ends with confidence in God. So let's read chapter 5, starting with verse 1. We're going to look at 1 through 3. And it says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Here's the psalmist in the beginning of this psalm here, and he's got to cry. He's crying out to God. His enemies have come against him. He's in a situation that he just thinks that there's no way out, that there's despair. Anybody ever been in that? I see one person shaking his head that's been in that situation. Okay. Isn't it funny how preachers will do that and they try to be funny? Well, it's true. He was the only one shaking his head. But so here he's crying out. And as I said earlier, I mean, our cry could be, Lord, I'm going through this thing. Or it could be, Lord, I'm going through this thing. I need your help. Can you hear what I'm saying? Lean forward. Bend your ear down. Listen to my meditations. Listen to what I'm going through. I need your help today. I need wisdom. I need direction. I need guidance. I need peace. I need joy in my life. I need healing in my body. There's things that I need, Lord. I need you to listen to what I'm saying. My gosh, do people go through that in this world today? Yes, we do. Everybody in this room has been through something like that. May be going through that right now. And right here, the psalmist has given us an illustration that you can just open up your mouth. I mean, you don't have to be all church, press suit, these and thous when you cry out to God. You'll find out that I don't talk like that. I might even say ain't in my sermon. But I don't talk like that. I want to be real with God. I want him to be real with me. I want to be honest with him. And I know he'll be honest with me. But as I'm pleading with God, I'm going through something. I'm going to cry out to him. Now, are the promises still true in the Bible? Even when I'm crying out and I don't see him and I'm all wrapped up in my mess, the promises are still true. The promises are still there. And once I can get through all this garbage going on in my life and I finally get myself straightened out and I'm looking up, then he can speak to me about those things. I retired from the Illinois Department of Corrections back in 2015. The first 3 years that I was working there, I don't know if you ever had this happen. I had an uncle one time. If he would tell me that the sun's out right now, I'd have to go look because I wouldn't believe him. He's told me too many lies. But working in the Department of Corrections, the first 3 years that I was there, it's like everybody's always trying to get an advantage. And I was lied to every day for 3 years. And so I developed an attitude. Now, I had a minister that before I went to work there, he sat me down and he said, Rick, there's three things that you need to remember. There's three things that you need to keep looking up to. This is my look up moment he's given me. He says, you need to continue to go to church, you need to continue to pray, and you need to continue to read the Word. In the first 3 years that I was there, the Word went away, the prayer went away, but I still kept going to church. I was there on Wednesday nights. This was back in 1990. And so Not proud of it, but I felt like it was my job to make lives miserable at that point. You know, and so as I'm working there on a daily basis, I thought, you know, I've been lied to every day. There's a price to pay for that. But then, I mean, I remember where it was at too. I was in North Cell House. I'm walking down One Gary. All right, this is One Gary, people. All right, and then right here is cell 128. And I stopped right there at cell 128. And it's like when somebody grabs you by the shoulders and tries to shake you awake, that's what the Lord did to me. And he says, you know what? I died for them just like I did you. Whoo! That was an awakening for me. That changed my life for the next 23 years that I was there. From that moment on, I started looking for opportunities to be able to share Jesus with somebody there. It didn't matter whether it was an inmate. It didn't matter whether it was staff. Whoever it may be, I looked for opportunities to share Jesus. Now, how was I able to do that? Well, it wasn't like I was totally lost. I mean, I was a believer. The Word of God really still was in there. And it was just at that moment, He was able to get me to see it and cause me to wake up to where I looked up to Him instead of what was out in front of me. Because too many times when we're looking for something, we're looking for wisdom, we're looking for revelation in an area, too many times we're looking out at what's in front of us. Too many times we're looking for a minister to minister some sort of word over us. Not to say that they can't. Not to say that they haven't. Maybe many of you have had somebody minister a word over you and it's been right on time. But we don't look for that. We look to the Word of God. We look to the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us through the Word of God. Because most of the time when we're given direction, it's going to come from the Word. It's not going to be some alien voice or a woo, you know, type thing that we're going to hear. Not that you can't. Not aliens. We're not looking for aliens. So anyway, strike that from the recording. But we're looking to the Word of God for an answer. And so here I am, I'm looking up now. I'm finally, the blinders have finally been taken off, and I'm looking up. And so I looked for opportunities. And probably one of the most memorable, two memorable opportunities that I had that I was looking for, because I would pray in the morning, okay, God, show me somebody that I can minister to. And I knew what line I couldn't cross, being a correctional officer and, you know, and the people who reside there. And I'd ask him, give me somebody to talk to. Well, there's a man named Ollie Staten in there for murder. And he's in the hospital. He's got some cirrhosis of the liver, I guess. He's dying from it. And I'm working the hospital that day, and I walk down the hallway, and I walk past this cell door, and the Lord says, go in there and tell him about me. And I'm like, yeah, I walk back over to the office, and I sat down. Three times that happened. And then finally the Lord said, okay, do you believe this or not? And I'm like, yeah, I do. He said, then get in that room and talk to him. Anybody ever had the Lord talk kind of real to him? Yeah, he was talking real to me that day. And so I walked into that room, and he was in a state where he couldn't communicate. But he understood what you're saying, and he'd shake his head yes and shake his head no. And so I introduced him to Jesus, asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus as a Savior. He shook his head yes. And so I prayed with him. Now, some people will say, yeah, but he didn't confess it with his mouth. You know what? He heard what I said, and he understood what I said, and he agreed with what I said, and he received what I said. He received Jesus as a Savior in that hospital bed. 3 days later, he died. He's going home. But what if I hadn't taken that moment when God grabbed a hold of my shoulders to wake me up, to cause me to look up instead of looking out what people were doing to me, caused me to look up? Would he have used somebody else to minister to this man? Possibly. Maybe not. All's I know is that when I leave this earth and when I step across the threshold of heaven, Ollie Staten will be standing right there. He'll be standing there. Look up. Quit looking down. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying in general. Quit looking inward. Quit looking at, okay, what do I need? We've all got needs in our lives. Whether it's financial, peace, joy, kids, you got, you know, runaway kids, whatever it may be. We've all got needs in our lives. But there has to come a point when we learn to trust in the Word of God. And this is the confidence that I have in Him, that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. We need to have confidence in that. Pastor Matt also talked about, he was referring to Hebrews 4:16, where it says to run to the throne room boldly. Run to the throne room boldly. That means the Word of God is telling you to run. So if you're going through something, it's not like, is it okay to come in? No, come on. He's not. You don't have to ask if it's okay to come in. Pastor Hagin talks about his daughter Denise, how she was running, going to see her grandpa, Brother Hagin, but she was running down the hallway of the office building there, and somebody yelled at her, little girl, you're not supposed to be running in the hallway. And he says, she turned around and swung around like this and says, do you know who I am? And turned around and ran the rest of the way to the room. That's a little kid. I mean, she's not doing that stuff now. But that's the same attitude that we need to have when we're dealing with whatever it may be. We need something in our lives. It should be the same way. Burst open that door, run through there and say, God, I need you. I need help. He's like, man, come on in. I got what you need. Here it is. Head on back out. Okay, go back out and play again, you know. But I wasn't like that when I started the prison. But he had what I needed. I just need to be woken up. And I need to start looking up instead of looking in. Since that day, I mean, I still do that. I still look for opportunities every day. I don't necessarily pray every day, God, give me an opportunity. Now I just expect they'll be there. And so I look for them. But if you're not in that position yet, look for opportunities. One thing that I've started doing is I've got my phone on silent right now. It's a good thing because my alarm would be going off. But on my phone here, at 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, my alarm will go off on my phone. And as soon as that alarm goes off my phone, I'll silence it. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I take a minute to look up. And I thank God for what He's doing in my life. I thank Him for who He is. I thank Him that He's on the throne. I thank Him that He's working in my lives and He's working in the lives of the people around me. I thank Him that as when I came here this morning, before I came here this morning, thanking Him for each one of the people in this room here. Father, they would minister to me. As I walked in the door, I had, where is he? Okay, there's Gordon up there. See, I remember some of the names here. But I see Gordon up there. He saw me carrying a guitar, which my guitar is in there. I didn't play. And somebody asked me to, but anyway, I brought it in because it's an expensive guitar. And I didn't want it to sit out in the heat, you know, in the back end of my car, just for protection reasons. But he noticed me. He noticed me coming in. His supply, he's back in the sound booth now. I saw him playing up here. He's a servant. I can already tell. He's got a servant's heart. And he noticed me, and he wanted to make things easier for me. Hey, I've got a cable set up for you up there already for, you know, coming in. You know, and then I saw Lonnie mowing last night. I drove by just to make sure I could find the church. But I saw Lonnie mowing last night. I mean, Lonnie met us over here. We got plenty of water out there for you. I'll drown you in water if you like. You know, have plenty of it there on the seat if you like. And I hear Pastor Matt likes to be drowned in water from time to time. But it's people who have an attitude like that, have outward thinking, that are looking up. If you're looking in, you're not looking up. You're looking down. And when you're looking down, that's when discouragement and depression and anxiety and all these things have an opportunity to come upon you. If you're not looking up, then the people around you, I don't want to say it like that, but circumstances around you will have an opportunity to affect how your day is going to turn out. But if you take, and I love this verse in Psalms here in the 5th chapter, and it says, the 3rd verse, my voice you shall hear in the morning. In the morning, I'll direct it to you, and I'll look up. I'm not saying that your devotional time, it's a law now. Your devotional time has to be at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever it may be. You're praying, your Bible, whatever it may be. But let me tell you, if you take first thing in the morning and you direct your attention to God, that's what will start your day. If you wake up in the morning and you see your phone lit up over there with notifications from Instagram and Chatgram or whatever the different grams are, but you'll see those things on your phone there, if you reach for that, your emails, and you flip them through that, those are the things that have a chance the first thing in the morning affect your day. Whew. But Rick, I don't have a cell phone. I don't have Facebook. Well, do you have, if you want to be old school, do you still have the old newspaper? Paper and ink. People look at that. Or Fox News, whatever it may be. Those things are influencing your day instead of first thing in the morning looking up. First thing in the morning, Lord, you'll hear my voice. I'll turn to you. I'll thank you for your goodness. I'll thank you for your greatness. I thank you that you're good all the time. And I'll refer to him. I'll also refer to, I thought this was funny, John referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. I thank you that I'm the disciple that you love. Come on, he loves each and every one of you. But man, give him first thing in the morning. Now, I've developed somewhat of a formula. Not that we have to have formulas. Not that it's a new doctrine or new rule. But it works for me. And I wrote down the passages here. It's Mark 11:22. What's it say? It says, have faith in God. First thing in the morning, I want to look to you. Man, you are faithful. You're faithful to me. You're faithful in every situation that I come that presents itself to me. I don't have to guess, wonder, or hope that you won't take care of me. I know that you will. I have faith in you. I have complete trust in you. And then I'll go to John 16:13-15. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will. He will what? He will guide you. He will is a matter of fact statement. You don't have to wonder whether he will or not. You're looking for direction. Come on, people. The Spirit of God, he says, the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you, lead and guide you into all, into what? All truth? Well, what's truth? People are searching for the meaning of truth. Well, gosh, we've got truth. It's right there. Everything that you go through, whether it's dealing with your wife, whether it's dealing with your kids, whether it's dealing with finances, whatever it may be in your life that you're dealing with, the truth about it is right there. So all we have to do is realize that that is truth, receive it as truth, acknowledge what God says in his word is true, and that he will fulfill everything that he says he'll do. Man, things will start happening in your life. Things will be happening back on the ranch that you need to happen back there with your family when you're standing over here in Oklahoma. I mean, I'm from Illinois. I grew up in, anybody know where Sparlin's at? Chillicothe? All that area, that's where we're from. And but my kids are in Bourbonnais, and one of them's in a little town called Henry here in Illinois. And we pray for our kids. We don't know what they're going through necessarily, but we pray for our kids and pray for them in the Spirit to say that, okay, we may not know, but we know the Holy Spirit hears us. We know that the Word of God is true. And because I am their dad, I still have some sort of influence in their lives. And so we pray over them. And so we expect things to be happening back at the ranch. We keep looking up. We can't look inward. We can't look downward. We got to keep looking up. But it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will be speaking words that come directly from the throne room of God. Man, if you're looking for direction in your life, lean on the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he's going to come. Well, he's here. He's telling the disciples he's going to come. Well, he's gone. Holy Spirit came. He's here now. He's in this room right now. We were praying in that room back there before we came out here for the service, believing God was going to move in this place. And I believe he has. The songs that were sung up there, they brought me to tears, a couple of them did. Well, they both did. But they brought me to tears because I realized the goodness of God in those songs. He's going to lead and he's going to guide you. He's going to speak things that come directly from the throne of God, throne room of God. Believe him. Trust him. And he will tell you things to come. Ooh, that direction you're looking for? He says he's going to tell you. You don't have to guess, wonder, or hope whether it's going to come. He says he's going to tell you. He says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will take of the things of the Father and declare them to us. You're looking for something in your life. You need something in your life that's in line with the Word of God. He wants to tell you. He doesn't want to hold it back from you. He wants to tell you those things. So we've got Mark 11, 22. We've got John 16, 13 through 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I said that earlier. It says, and this is the confidence that we have, that we have anything according to his will. We know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. So there's a confidence in asking of God. So this is my formula. Have faith in God. Trust in the Holy Spirit, have confidence in God, and then when that's all said and done, my brethren, because when we go through stuff, count it all joy. Count it all joy. There's things that we go through in life that may not seem joyful. But he's telling us, count it all joy. Knowing that the trying of your faith produces faith, when you encounter various trials, because you're going to be tried. There's things going to happen in your life that you think, man, there is just no way out. I just gave you four verses right here. It says, have faith in God. Trust the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to speak directly from the throne room of God. This is the confidence we have in him. All these things are upward looking. They're directional. Their direction is up. I mean, when we sing a song, which way do we look normally when we're singing a song to God? We look up. We don't look down. When we're looking down, we're too focused on self, too focused on what we're going through. You know what? You're going through stuff. We all go through stuff. There's got to be an answer. Well, the answer is Jesus. I need to land this airplane here in a minute. I've said some things here today that I know that you already know. But Peter says that I'm going to go ahead and tell you these things anyway. He says, I know that you're already walking these things, that you practice these things. He says, I'm going to go ahead and tell you anyway because you need to be reminded. And he says, I'm going to keep on reminding you until I'm dead so that when I'm dead, you'll still remember the things that I've taught you. I don't want this to be a message here today that, because I can be my own worst critic. I can say, man, Rick, watch that back. Boy, you stumbled on those words. But you know what? The heart that I had for this congregation here today is to see you looking in a direction where your answer comes from. I've got a lot more notes there. But my heart is to see you guys looking in a direction for your answer. It says, I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? It's a question mark at the end of that. No. No, it doesn't come from there. It doesn't come from my surroundings. It doesn't come from man-made things. It doesn't come from earthly wisdom. It says, no, my answer comes from the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. I don't look to the creation for my answer. I look to the Lord for my answer. I look to his word for my answer. 9 times out of 10, that's where you're going to get your answer, is in his word. If you're not in the word, not going to be many answers to come your way. If you're not in the word, if you're going through some sort of sickness and you don't have any have the word to stand on with regards to your sickness, it's hard for healing to come your way. I mean, doctors can do so much. I was diagnosed a few years ago with Meniere's disease. And the doctors told me that there was only one cure for that. And it causes extreme vertigo. He says, we can go in there and we can cut the nerve in your ear and then you'll never hear again. I said, well, I don't want that. I got little grandkids. I want to hear their voices. And so I said, Lord, you know, I was crying out to God. I had a need in my life. But I knew that his word that says, by his stripes, I was healed. It's a done deal. And so I'm standing upstairs in my bathroom one morning. And all of a sudden, I felt a swoosh from this ear come out the side of my neck. I haven't had it since. And that's been 8 years ago, 10 years ago. But I was diagnosed with it by a doctor. Where was my focus turned to? I was looking up. Because there was no earthly answer for that. You just live with it. But my focus was up. And so if I get nothing else across here today, I really want you to look at your life and the situations that you may be going through right now. Turn to the Word. Turn to God. Whatever people are telling you, forget that business. When Jesus went with Jairus to the house, they already told him that his daughter was dead. Jesus said, okay, you guys aren't going. Matter of fact, you guys aren't going over here either. Because he didn't want doubt and unbelief to come along with them. Because when Jesus told Jairus that he would heal his daughter, it didn't matter if that daughter died or not. He would raise her up. And he did. He gave a promise, and his word is true. Now, I'm not going to have some big healing or whatever type of line up here this morning. You know in your hearts where you're at. You know in your hearts whether you've been looking inwardly at your situation and focusing on your situation or not. Or whether you've been looking up and focusing on God and waiting for that answer, you know. And so you don't need hands laid on you. Turn to his word. Whatever you're going through, find that situation in the Bible and the promise that goes along with it. And say, I don't care what happens. I don't care what my situation is telling me. I don't care what the doctors are telling me. I don't care what my friends are telling me. I don't care what my mom's telling me, my dad's telling me, my brother, my sister, my wife. I don't care what anyone is telling me. God's word's true. They're liars. Stand on his word no matter what and look up.